Okay, and welcome to Going Native, episode number 60. My name is Steve Carroll. I'm the dev manager for the Visual C++ team today. We have some familiar faces. We've got Gabriel Dos Reis, also from the C++ team, and we've got Billy. Billy, you've been on the show at least one other time, right?
Yes, Stefan and I's multi-threading primitives.
That one was super fun.
Discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Billy O'Neill also.
Yes.
So you're going to be representing, we're going to do one of our many episodes about the standards meeting, what just happened. So Billy's going to represent libraries today, and Gabby
yes.
will represent languages as per usual.
Stuff.
All right, per usual.
Okay,
so as usual, we're kind of like targeting this towards people who are interested in the standards process, but maybe not the experts in it. So we'll do a decent amount of explaining, you know, what all these different things mean and what happened.
Yeah.
So Gabby, can you start by sort of setting the stage? This was sort of the first in the series of standards meetings about C++ 20, right?
Yes.
So maybe we should start with C++ 17. Where are we with that?
Yeah, okay. So C++ 17 is in balloting right now. So basically it means the national bodies are looking at the documents and say, we like, we don't like it. But we actually want them to like it because from the community's perspective, we're done.
Okay.
If
yes.
you find a bug, send it back, but please just say yes so that we're done
Got
with it.
It.
Otherwise, you just force Herb to re-ballot again and that,
right,
yeah,
I see.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like in escrow from
kind of
Microsoft
you know,
way of thinking about things.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. So this was the first meeting where.
Well, wait, before we get off that though, when does that end? Does that like what like how much do we have like an estimate or is it like?
Oh, so you know, I think at this point it's mostly ISO finding the right stamp to say.
So
this
we'll move at the speed of bureaucracy.
That's right.
Okay.
Now they'll find it somewhere eventually.
Got it.
And I think Herb will convince them that this is 17. Everybody's calling 17. If they find it stamped like, you know, New Year of 2018.
Yeah.
We don't care.
All right. We're going to call it that.
That's right.
We're going to be like, please, just make it 17, please.
Yeah.
Please.
Herb has the right.
I'm not
ways
changing
of
the switch in the back.
Yeah, the file is gone.
Yeah. All right. So that's 17 wrapped up. So first one of 20. What were the majors here?
So this was very, very good meeting, right? I felt very good. Exhausted, but very good at the end of the meeting.
Gabby, do you always feel very good at the end of these meetings?
Let's not talk about Kona or Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So, if you remember, you know, the standard, you can think of it as the main trunk of development. And then we have these things we call TSs. They're kind of
technical
branches.
Yeah,
technical specification, topical branches. You go there, you develop things. When you're ready, you grunt. So, the way it works usually is you develop your proposal. Then at some point, you convince the committee and Herb to create a new work item for that proposal.
Okay.
And it turns into a technical specification draft.
Okay.
And then when the committee is convinced, they send it for balloting. We call that PDTS,
which
Preliminary
is
Draft Technical Specification.
Yes.
Girl will tell you how it works.
Yes, we figured it out
today
in
I learned
this episode, for those of you who tune in for all of these.
Today I learned what PDTS means.
Oh, that's good. So... So the ballots come, we come back with comments, and usually, you know, it passes and we resolve the comments, and when we're satisfied, we send the TS for publication.
Okay.
And then once the TS is published, it's been there for a while, it is implemented, tested, and at some point, when we like it, we decide to merge the TS into the main branch.
Okay.
So in the entire history of having these TSs, we have a lot of TSs. There's only one that we never merged back. We abandoned, you know, it was Array TS. It was very complicated.
Oh, right.
And,
oh.
And all, yeah. So, but
okay.
Mostly 99.99% of the TSs gets approved, published, and eventually merged.
And it's usually a question of like, well, okay, so it's not 100%, but of the ones that make it, they can vary in time a significant amount, right?
That's right. There is one that has been published as TS. We are not moving it into the draft right yet, but, you know,
got it.
Because of the way it was developed.
So what are the most, we've talked about these a bunch in the past, mm-hmm. but can you give some examples of TSs that people might have heard of, just to kind of
Okay, so you probably heard about the range TSs or the file system TSs. The file system TS was merged into C++ 17. That we just decided we've done.
Right.
And Billy probably wants to say something about that. You implemented part of it, or Stefan?
So we've looked at implementing it. At the moment, there are binary compatibility concerns for our particular implementation because we implemented a previous version of the file system TS.
Like TR2?
Yes.
And so there were some changes made to that interface as it was put into the standard. Mm-hmm. So if we implement that, it will break ABI with our previous customers.
Yeah, I was under the impression that you contributed to those changes based on your attempt to...
Yes, we found it was a very good thing it went through the TS process. We found lots of bugs, and we fixed them.
That's a great example. All right.
So at this particular meeting, what happened was that, so if you go linearly, the module taking the specification draft was moved to the PDTS stage, which means that now it is sent to the ISO standards, you know, body.
When did that get opened? When did that TS open?
Oh, good question.
Was it Issaquah?
Yeah, it was at Issaquah.
Yeah.
We could have gotten it last meeting, but you know, it's.
Right, it was now. Two meetings ago.
Yeah. 2 meetings ago. All right, and so now that one has gone to the PDTS stage.
Yeah, and now and then we had three.
And that happened in this meeting.
Oh, at this meeting, yes, we moved to the PDTS, and you know, usually it takes between 3 to 4 months. So most likely at the next standards meeting, which is in Albuquerque, in New Mexico. We might hear back about the TS. So there were three TSs that were sent for publication. So we have the co-written TS, now developed by Gore. And
again, many episodes of this show available to discuss that
topic. And Range TS, you know, remember Range was developed to use concept and all of that. Casey Carter, who worked for you, is the project editor, and so he's busy.
Yes.
And then the networking TS that's going to publication, and once it's published, and at some point, all these three hopefully get merged into C++ 20, which means C++ 20 is going to be a fantastic
language. It's already large. Do we want to go through for just for those ones really quickly? Go through I think it's obvious from the name, but like, what is the networking TS, right? Like,
networking.
Give me an example of things that are in it, right? Like, what would you replace with this instead?
Well, right now there is no sort of standardized cross-platform way to write networking code. Like, yes, everybody's a pseudo clone of that BSD interface from.
TCP connection, and read, send, and read.
And my understanding is that there's been sort of a, how would I put this, like making that API nicer to interact with.
That's right.
Just like pthreads was kind of almost a standard for the threading components that got cleaned up when it was standardized.
So you're saying it's based off of the BSD implementation of networking?
It is.
I'm saying like, networking APIs forever have been slight variations on that.
I see.
But they haven't been standardized in any way before.
Okay, but what layers of networking are we talking about here, right? Like,
I have no clue.
I don't know.
In a future episode, we'll deep dive on
it.
But if you ask Gore, Gore has nice slides about how the networking TS interacts with coroutines, and he will show you a very nice function that does,
Yes, Gore has been our
TCP connection networking and read and write in a synchronous manner. You know,
I asked the wrong employees. That's okay. Right. It's fine. No one will notice.
Hi, I'm Gore Nishanov. I'm a developer in Visual C++ team, and today we will be talking about updates to networking TS, which was just published or submitted for publication as an official technical specification. So networking TS is great. It's built on top of, modeled after Boost SIO, and it has been in use for many, many years, I think 10 or more. And it allows you to nicely to deal with asynchronous I/O. It also has regular synchronous I/O, but that is not interesting. So this little picture kind of gives you an overview of the heart of the I/O context. And this, sorry, heart of the network in JS. And it is this thing, I/O context, is a concrete class. You can think about it as a work queue. And you have many, many, many producers which can inject work into that queue. So your work can come from executors, which just inject some kind of work item that will have to be executed at some point in the future. We can inject work there through timers, where you say, hey, you know, call me back in 5 minutes or 24 hours. And finally, the most interesting aspect, which is I/O, you can work with sockets. And currently in the standard or in the proposal, we're only dealing with sockets. But if you look at Boost, there are plenty more of other I/O objects that can inject work into this magical I/O context. So, but once you injected the work in the I/O context, nothing actually happens, or at least nobody calls your callback, because there is no thread pool associated with network in TS yet. Instead, you have to launch, well, let me correct that. There is a thread pool associated with network in TS, but you have to glue it to the I/O context manually. And what you do is that, so far we talked about the production side. There are producers which can inject asynchrony into the system, and it all gets into this wonderful I/O context. And then you can launch one or more thread that will call run method. And run will start dequeuing work completions from the I/O context and executing those callbacks that you associated with a particular operation. And you can launch it in multiple threads, so you will have some kind of scalable performance. And you know, we have a few others. You can stop, which have the effect of pausing dispatching of the callbacks, restart if you want to go back to a normal state, and a few others. So this is roughly the shape of the networking case and how you play with it. What has happened in Toronto with networking TS? We did a resolution of national body comments. So before, it was published as a, I need to make it right, because every time I say it, I say it in the wrong way. So I think it was not preliminary draft, it was proposed, yes, proposed draft technical specification. And when it gets published, various organizations and national bodies, which represents countries, submit comments about what they would like to see changed. And in Toronto meetings, we had many sessions that resolutions of those comments. And of interest, I think there are a few. There were comments mostly like rename this enumeration or improve the post-condition or pre-condition on that API. So those are not exactly very playable. So it just improves the wording. But there were several changes. One of them, they made a distinction between the defer and post. So post is when you want something to execute on a different thread than you, or at least not right now, sometime later. But it can start concurrently with the current thread that called post, or it can happen after the post API has returned. And before, post and defer description was identical, so there was no distinction. But the idea was that defer is something that is related to what you're doing right now. So it makes no sense to initiate that operation until whatever you're doing right now is completed. So they added clarification that defer guarantees you that whatever you defer, that work will not start until defer returns back to you. Whereas when post, when you post something, it's quite likely, well, it is likely that that work can start on a different thread and even complete before post returns to you. And finally, dispatch even allows you to run that work that you posted in the current thread. So essentially, it can block until whatever you dispatched is finished. So those are three flavors of APIs that you can inject work items into a thread pool. So we made a clear distinction between the post and defer. defer now guarantees that it will not start until defer returns. Another change which happened is that we now allow to release a raw socket that can, like native handle, the one that operating system can understand, from the networking TS socket. So you can understand that the networking TS socket is a wrapper around the native handle. Plus, it has the tracking of all outstanding I/O, possibly association with some OS queue, like in case of Windows, I/O completion port. And there was a national body comment that asked, please, 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 allow me to get a native handle out of a socket. And it is actually not possible to do up until Windows 8.1. And even today, you cannot do it using purely Win32 API. You have to go back to raw NT APIs, which is documented, so it's okay. So that API was added. Now you can relinquish the control of a raw native handle back to the OS. But before it's given back to the OS, it cancels all of the outstanding I/O. So essentially, it allows you to give a native handle, but whatever I/O was going in progress will be canceled before that handle is given to you. And I think there was another comment that wanted to add an ability to consume that native handle. Actually, scratch that. That particular comment was rejected, so there is no sense for me to explain it. And there were a few others that were accepted. For example, were rejected. In all of the cases where you have the async underscore and some verb, async wait, async accept, async connect, the last parameter is kind of a callback. So it's whatever, whatever, whatever. In the end, you pass a callback that needs to be called when that async operation completes. However, it's not just a complex. It's not just a callback. It is a completion token which can be transformed through a certain traits to do more things. And one of the comments was, make it a callback. And that particular comment was rejected because there are currently uses for this completion token which is beyond callback, like for example, boost fibers, boost coroutines, which are not coroutines, which are stackful coroutines. It's not the same as C++ coroutines, but those take advantage of that. Or if you want to play with futures, you can pass a special tag, tag type or object in place of a callback, and then it will make this API return to you a future that will get completed when the API completes. So we're in Toronto. In this case, I meant WG21. I didn't spend time on networking TS during the Toronto meeting. Went through the national body comments and voted nearly unanimously to send the paper as updated for publication as technical specification, and very, very soon you will see that paper on the website where all of the official mailings are.
Moving on. all right, so networking ranges. I think we should say a little about ranges. I don't think we've really covered it here, though.
So, I mean, ranges is mostly about taking the existing interface we have for interacting with algorithms, and nobody likes typing the container.begin paren paren and container.end paren paren every time you want to call something like sort. You just want to be able to say, like, sort this container, and that sort of work. And there are sort of other parts of that that include, like, ways to treat arbitrary things that aren't containers as ranges and that sort of thing. Yeah. That Casey and Eric have been spending a whole bunch of time for. Yeah. Yes.
And so the nice thing about ranges is that, so the STL, as we know it from 98, is based on this notion of pair of iterators, right? Begin and end. And sometimes they are fairly low level, you know, abstractions. Sometimes you get confused. With ranges, you just have one abstraction. And that's when, you know, begin end is already known by me, right? And that's a much nicer way of programming, and you get to less make less error than
Yes, you need players. Less of our, like, we found, like, our iterator debugging machinery found, like, mismatched iterator pairs getting passed to the existing algorithms in some of the range implementations. Yeah. And but with ranges, you don't have that problem. You can't mismatch the iterators because you pass them together.
Yes. And so the ranges, the abstract over that pair of iterators, you can also have an iterator on a predicate, right? So, no, read till you hit null, something like that, right? So
yes.
it's a very nice abstraction, and it composed very well. So this is a very nice work, and the way it was done using concept and all that, just beautiful. I really love it.
Okay.
So that's the range.
Okay, and we've talked about coroutines in the future. Okay, so we got through the PDTS, we got modules, we got your three TSs. What's next?
Hey, we actually got to merge, real merge, the concept TS that has been there probably since 2015 into the C++ 20 working draft. So this is the first feature. It is also the first biggest, into the center. I used to complain at the committee when it works, especially for 17, looks as small stuff. And, you know, this is, the committee is really saying, you know, for C++ 20, we want to look at the big, you know, features right. that changes how people program in with C++. So I'm very happy.
Got it. Yes.
Of course, it couldn't get in without being molested. So the syntax was vandalized. But we're trying to fix that.
I see. And okay, so that's, so concepts is in. At this point, we'll probably break away and show, we're going to have a little bit of an example to kind of give people a real flavor for this. Because I don't feel like we've really covered it. You know, I think we've talked about it before, but I don't know if we've really introduced the idea.
That's right.
So we'll do that here. Mm-hmm. So over to you, Gabby.
Here are a couple of examples of concepts. One is quite ubiquitous, is Hue type. This is how you express that type. Support equality, you need a placeholder for expressions of type T. When you compare two expressions of type T, A and B here, using the equal operator, you want the result to be convertible to type bool. It doesn't mean that the actual type is bool, it just means that the expressions, the whole expression is convertible to bool. Of course, if you have equal, you also have not equal. It makes no sense to have equal and not equal. Once you get a equality type, the next class of types that you need to deal with, and which people deal with all the time, is other types. Those are types that you can compare maximum minimum for. You can use them as keys in associative containers. So just like before, you need two placeholders for expressions of type T. And saying if can compare A less than B, then the expression must be convertible to bool. The same is true if I use less equal or greater equal. Once I have those two concepts, I can write a function like minimum here that takes two values of type T and returns the one that's less than the other. The same for maximum. So here, if I write, give me the minimum of, if I say give me the minimum of 23 and 45, then the compiler will say, okay, yeah, these types int, other types, and just go and instantiate the function minimum and execute the code. Now, if I try something fancy or stupid, depends on how you see it, and I have two input file streams, F1 and F2, and try to find which one is greater, the compiler will fail and tell me, well, you can't do that because the types std IF stream is not comparable, is not other type. And you can see that from the online compiler. You can see that, well, if I just call min and 2345, you know, things work out. But if I try to construct two files and take the one that's greater and whatever that means being greater,
completion fails. Here you can see the squiggle, red squiggle, and the compiler saying, hey, I cannot call a function maximum with t equal basic stream, basic IF stream. And then we go to the function definitions, and then GCC complains that the constraint for the function, the constraint here is that t being other type, constraint is not satisfied. Now, this implementation in GCC of concept in GCC is the one that is the TS. In the TS, you needed to use the keyword bool in between concept and the concept's name that you're introducing. We removed that from the actual standard, so you don't have to do that. But if you're going to test the GCC online GCC compiler, you need to add those bools in there.
Okay, so we're back. So that's concepts. Mm-hmm. So Gabby, tell me, like, other than concepts, what was core up to in the
lambdas? They got improved again.
Okay.
So this time around, you can actually write a template lambda. So you have the square bracket where you indicate the squiggle, which variable you want to capture, and right after that, you have the angular brackets where you say type name t blah blah blah. Then you open your parentheses, and you can use template parameters. So now you can actually have
a templated lambdas.
That's right. Okay. So, so if you want to have a generic function that does nothing, then you can say square brackets, type name t, take t and does nothing.
And we're getting closer to our goal of using all of the punctuation.
Exactly.
For lambdas.
And I'm pretty sure we can specialize that so that you can just say
great.
Square brackets, angular brackets, parentheses, curlies, and you're done.
That's great. I'm glad I can use more keys on my keyboard.
Exactly.
That's fantastic.
Now we have to ask the ISO an additional parentheses.
All right, great. What about libs?
So most of what the libraries guys were doing were a whole bunch of bug fixes on those TSs that were published, basically
their interactions? Is that how to think about that? Like,
no, so at the previous meeting, ranges went for, what was it, PDTS balloting?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So the national bodies came back with like 70 things that we found that were wrong or that we want you to change. Basically bug reports. So like there were like 70 of those. That Casey and company and basically wrote fixes for, and then they had to go and argue with other library experts about. And then as far as things that got merged actually into the working paper, let's see. So we fixed the elementary string conversions, so the from chars and to chars function. There's a problem in 17 where those are intended to be really like low-level formatting facilities. And we made the return value from those be an error code from system error, and we didn't realize that thing depends on string. So
circular dependencies.
Yes, so it created circular dependencies between utility and string, and basically we just like moved that into a new header to be like, oh, this can't. And we also fixed the thing that made it depend on string.
Yeah. So if you're an ISO national body, please do not send comment about this.
Yes. Please don't do that.
Just say yes, and it will be fixed automatically.
And we fixed shared putter for arrays, or it's not really a fix. We added support for make shared for shared putter for arrays.
And this is a functionality that has been there for unique pointer. We just make sure that.
It's both giving you like what make unique does for arrays and also enabling that optimization of including the reference count inside the block that includes the array, basically.
Okay.
And we added one enum class that just says what the endian is on the implementation.
Yes.
So for us, that's always going to say little, as far as I'm aware, anyway.
And how many days did it take you to implement that?
I haven't implemented it yet, but if you want me to, like right now,
I will pause the video. And
like making the only turn it on for C++ 20 macros is more difficult than.
I was going to say, now you have this enum, you don't have to use macros. And I said, well, to use this enum, you have to use the macros.
Well, but only he does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If you guys can make the compiler tell us some other way,
yes,
then I would love to kill all the macros.
Okay, fantastic.
So is that it for, are we done with libsbugs or?
I believe so.
All right, and then there was one other thing I think you wanted to talk about in terms of modules.
The standard library modules. So what do we mean by that? Oh, so the idea here is that today you have all these standard headers. They have been developed with the implementers, no offense intended.
The implementation right now was not done to be pretty.
Yeah, right. You know, they're being optimized, implementers' view, and not the end user's view. So if you want to use sort of vector, for example, you have to include vector, iterator. If you want to be, strict and algorithm, give me a break. So the idea with the standard library module is what are the logical components that we want to present?
So you're basically modularizing the standard template library.
That's right.
And trying to make it so that there's some standardization in how that's done, so it's not like you get the libs to and does this we do this.
So for the example I gave you, we would just say import std core, and that gives you most of the STL plus, I assume, or something.
Yes.
Much simpler way of thinking about what you want to write, express it directly, as opposed to thinking about, do I have a write include? So depending on the compiler, GCC will say, very minimal, and then you move to Clang, doesn't work, or you move to VC yell at you, are you mad? And
so, is this a new TS, or is this just part of the modules TS? How
do I it's a paper.
So it's a proposal.
Okay.
Supposed to advance, not as a TS, but moving steadily at the point where we're merging.
They merge together.
So it was well received, and I think three co-authors got volunteered in addition to Billy, Stefan, and Jonathan. Marshall Claw will join. So I thought it was four then. So
are we going for the most possible authors?
Something like that. You get. Biane, I think he volunteered himself, something like that.
Okay.
I think he volunteered himself, then volunteered Beeman Dawes. it's known for Boost. He was, former chair of the library working group. He was fantastic. He had very good sense of design, and so I'm very happy to have him on board and have his help. And then there was a new guy, Guy Davidson.
Yes, and that guy.
And he's really a nice guy, and he volunteered himself, to help. So I'm very confident that as the module TS, the core language feature, is moving, we are prepared to actually present users with how to use this thing, properly.
Yes, and unlike headers, you don't have to. They won't be grouped by just. Oh, well, the implementation for this thing is enormous, and so we don't want to force people to parse that every time.
And so this is not some blue sky research. We have some experimental implementation, if I can call implementation, but actually thanks to Billy, who helped with, VC++ is delivering.
Yes. It was mostly build system hacking rather than modules hacking.
But I'm glad you were there to help.
nobody wants to touch that.
Okay, so standard template modules. All right, so next up is what fabulous destination are you guys going to?
Oh, Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Albuquerque. Yes. All right.
And that will be in November.
All right, great.
I think
it's a lovely time of year.
Two weeks before Thanksgiving, so just think about that. And if I'm not back right after that, what has happened.
Yeah. All right, great. All right, and if people want to get involved in the process?
Oh, you go to isocpp.org, right? And then you have the current standard documents, the timeline, and
there's like a standardization button.
Yeah.
And push to standardize me. Actually, one thing that I thought was really good was, especially since we love to end these ones talking about how to get involved if you're interested, if this kind of thing appeals to you, is a guy wrote a really cool, it was his first time at the standards meeting. And if you can check out Guy Davidson's trip report on what it's really like to go, definitely check that out. He did a great job.
So then we get to Jacksonville again in March, and then Kona. Sorry, not Kona, Rapperswil. Switzerland.
Switzerland.
Yes.
Yes.
So we
it's
were
no
told.
No Albuquerque, but I hear it's nice.
Yeah, we were told we have to book a hotel room right now because they have some stuff going on in the summer and it's already full.
Right, so. And they don't want it to be. They don't want to shut out us. No, cool C++. I got it. All right. So it sounds like that people should really be focusing on that Albuquerque one.
And not the Switzerland one.
Yes. Okay. So thank you for checking it, for watching the show, and we'll see you in four. What? Did you forget something?
Yes. I want people to go. VC, Clang, GCC, download the compilers. So they're almost 17 ready. Right, you know, VC is halfway through, but you know, I think Clang and GCC are already there. And please try them. Please try concept and give feedback.
That's right.
Yes, the more feedback we get on these things, the more likely we are to not ship them broken.
Yeah, that's right. And if you have feedback, give it to VC blog or ISOSPP.org. There's forum list and just send.
Because you can use any of those compilers with Visual Studio.
Yes.
Yes.
So I heard.
All right. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Go play with the new features.